Hello and welcome to this episode of Miss Bossy Boots, inspiring leadership for women in business. My name is Stacey Morgan. I'm the principal of Port Macquarie Performing Arts, a dance school on the mid-north coast of New South Wales in Australia. And joining me is my co-host, Jane Hilsden. Jane is the managing director of Dragonfly Marketing, a marketing agency that helps small business grow. How you doing, Jane?
Hi, Stace.
Continuing on with our business fundamentals, today we're talking about finding your why. What's your why, Jane?
Oh, a deep breath into it.
Stace, I actually haven't articulated my why. I have not articulated my why yet. I think a lot about my why, and I am so keen to actually establish my why. I feel I'm really close, but I don't have a definitive why just yet.
And right now I'm thinking that perhaps I should have told you that I was going to launch that question on you.
Big question out of the blue.
Big question. But it is, you know, there's lots of different people listening in different stages. There are people who know their why and have their why, you know, front of mind when they wake up in the morning. And then there's people who are finding it hard to articulate. And there's people who just never think about it. And it's not something. I'm a why person. I think about my why all of the time. But I have also found that my why changes.
Yes.
Slightly. Not something major. I don't want to be an astronaut one day and then suddenly want to be a horticulturist the next.
Yeah. And look, that's a good point. You know, I have a lot of little whys. I'm a very driven person and I'm very passionate about, you know, quite a lot of things. And there's little whys in those driving forces and in those areas of passions. But I really believe there is a greater why. And I believe I've been on a journey to discover that. And I believe I'm as close as I can be to it. And I can't wait to actually happen upon it. And maybe I've already done that and I just don't know about it. But, you know, I figure I would know it if I'd found it.
Okay. I'm going to keep asking you that question so that you can keep us up to date with where you are in your journey.
Yeah. Hold me accountable.
Definitely. Well, today we're talking about your why. And the person that we've chosen to talk to is Marco Panzik. Marco has a great story. He's somebody that I've obviously got on board because he's in the dance industry. So he's someone that I've known for a little while. He came from small town Western Australia, packed up all of his life and moved to the East Coast, moved to Sydney when he was younger with the dreams of becoming a dancer. He got into So You Think You Can Dance, amongst other things, and I'm sure he'll tell us the full story. But I'm telling you this because it's the background to why we chose him for the fundamental of why. So he packed up all of his bits and pieces, moved to Sydney, got into So You Think You Can Dance, and now, from that point to this point, he is now the thought leader and the top of the pyramid when it comes to his generation of dance in the dance industry in Australia. He is the go-to guy. He's the creative director. He's the choreographer. He works with all the top artists. He has had this incredible career. But in the background, running at all times, was that he wanted to make the dance industry positive and he wants to give dancers the chance of employment that any other career has. So for Marco, the work that he's done commercially has all had this underlying why behind it of wanting to provide opportunities for Australian dancers. Dance isn't treated in Australia like it is in other countries. In other countries, there's a lot of money behind it. There's a lot of support. A lot of people take their kids to the theatre. A lot of people go to the theatre, and theatre is very big. We don't find that in Australia. We focus on sport. We focus on other things, and that's a whole other conversation that we can have another time. But for Marco, he is really flying the flag in giving dancers real opportunities, giving them good wages, giving them opportunities to perform and to showcase this art that we haven't really seen before he came on board.
So, Stace, he's flying the flag to make sure that dance becomes more of a career. So instead of it being a hobby,
exactly,
as we would probably largely see it as the average Australian, this is more about actually creating a real career and career opportunities that dancers can embrace in Australia as opposed to having to go overseas to realise that career.
Exactly. And his whole focus is making dance, the art form, and the dancers, the star. So instead of the dancers being the backup dancers, you know, standing behind Madonna, that you go to the theatre to actually see professional dancers work and create work.
Yes.
So a bit of a background on Marco. He's a creative director, a choreographer, a producer and a dancer. He hit our TV screens in the first series of So You Think You Can Dance. He was in the top 20. That was back in 2008. Since then, he's gone on to work with Ricky Martin, Kylie Minogue, Jason Derulo, Ricky Lee, Jessica Mauboy, Danny Minogue, Will.i.am, Jerry Halliwell, Anthony Kalia, Vanessa Amorosi. There's a whole collection of people that he's worked with. In addition to that, he's provided choreography for The Voice Australia, for The Voice Kids, Australia's Got Talent, Australia's Next Top Model, for Eurovision, and for a whole heap of Australian brands.
So when you say worked with Stace, what does that look like? As a choreographer?
Yeah.
Or
well, both. Yeah. As a choreographer and a dancer. So right. You would either see his choreography happening with those artists that yes. I named, or his dancers doing choreography behind those performers, or in some cases just giving the artists themselves choreography to be able to work with. And that could be for their film clips, or it could be for their live their tours that they do, or even just things like TV appearances. So if you see somebody on Sunrise, it's quite often that you will see either Marco's choreography being performed with it, or the artist performing choreography that is Marco's.
Wow.
Or okay. Him having some level of development as far as the creative director of that performance.
Wow.
He's really made his way from the onstage to the behind the scenes guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's the artistic director of the Australian Dance Festival. He's also the artistic director of Australia's first commercial dance company, which he founded, called the Dream Dance Company. And that company is providing real work for commercial dancers here in Australia. He's currently working as the senior music and performance producer for Australia's Got Talent, and we're so excited to get him on the line. Let's talk to him now.
Marco Panzik, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. We are so thrilled that you could join us. Stacey has just given you an amazing introduction. It sounds like you are kicking some massive goals in the world of dance, which is brilliant.
Yes. Very exciting.
Yeah, to say the least. Look, we want to kick off this interview by firstly asking you just to give us a little bit of background about what your current role is and how you've got there. What's been your journey?
So my current position is I run a dance company now, the Dream Dance Company, and I'm the founder and director, an artistic director, kind of everything. It's a producer, director. It's kind of lots of different hats on. But I feel I really got to this position by, I think, the last, 10 years being in Sydney and having a career as a dancer and moving into as a choreographer and then a producer and a director. I feel like some things in life happen to lead you into what you're meant to do. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of funny that, all these things that I were facing, challenges, working with artists, working behind the scene in TV shows, prepping lights, doing creative director things in the sense of props and lighting directing and all various other jobs. And I kept wondering, how did I end up here? And why am I doing all this, different things that originally I was a professional dancer and then moving into other things. And then somehow in the miracle of dance and the arts, the dream was born. And it was kind of something now I look back on and I go, wow, this was always in my path. It was like all these things that I was doing was leading exactly to what I'm doing now.
Awesome. I love when the world seems to align like that, because you didn't start out obviously on TV and working behind the scenes and moving lights around and things like that. You started just as a dancer in a dance studio.
Yeah, totally. Exactly. When I was growing up, I trained as a dancer. So lots of like tap, singing, jazz, ballet, you name it, I did it. And then gradually, I think from the age of 4 when I started, I just, once it's one of those things, once you have a love of the arts, it kind of stays with you for the rest of your life in any venture you may take. So it kind of stayed with me. And then I, continued my training in Perth. I grew up in Perth and then owned a dance studio at 17. And then at 21, I decided to make the big move to Sydney. And then I continued my training in Sydney and teaching and all of that stuff. And then the wonderful world of So You Think You Can Dance happened, which I definitely credit a lot of what I'm doing based on the exposure of that show and definitely the connections it gave me into the world of TV that led me then to, become a producer on The Voice and Australia's Next Top Model and Australia's Got Talent and various other projects. So it all kind of, I don't know, dance led me into various different roles. But I always knew I loved dancing and I loved being in shows, but I always had this thing that I really loved the behind the scenes. It was something that I've always, you know, has intrigued me. And I remember when I was young, I'd always look at the teacher or the person in control and I'd be like, I want to be that person. Mm-hmm. I want to be that, you know. It was never, I don't know, I've done a lot of shows. I did Fame the Musical and I loved those moments. But it never was, like, there's people who are born to perform and they love the spotlight. I really feel like I was born to put the spotlight on others. Like, I really enjoy that, and I think it's something that I get so much, you know, such a reward from, that I can, you know, I feel even with the Dream Dance Company, it's like it's a responsibility now, because I can, you know, really make a difference in someone's life bringing them into the company. So it kind of, I don't know, I get a real gratification from giving opportunities to others.
That perfectly brings us into your why, because of course that's the business fundamental we are talking to you about today. As soon as Jane and I started talking about why as a fundamental, you were the first person that came to my head. You have this why that is part of everything you eat and breathe, nearly. It kind of radiates from you. All of the things that you do and the way that you make your mark on the world leads back to that why. Can you elaborate a little bit more on exactly what you were talking about, inspiring people and inspiring this next generation of dancers, and where that why comes into, you know, helping you get out of bed every morning?
100%. And I honestly believe that why is everything to any business being successful. I feel, you know, I've always said it, the day I wake up and I don't want to do it anymore and I don't have the love for it, I'll stop.
Yeah.
Because the most important thing for me is that, if you know me, you've been around me, like, I'm an overly passionate person and I have many opinions and many things that I want to, you know, change and make a difference on. And I sometimes just can't sit back and, you know, if I see something, I'm like, oh, but this needs, I just like to make things happen. Mm. I don't know why, but it's my, you know, that why for me, see, the why in a sense is like being able to actually make a difference and give something, especially to these dancers. You know, I look at when I was a young dancer, I feel we were exposed to many more dancers that were successful, in a sense. You know, when I grew up, Michael Jackson was, you know, the everything.
The man.
Like,
yeah.
and he was more of the man because he could dance.
Yeah.
And because of, you know, the power of movement and dancing, and that, you know, it didn't take a whole army. It was one man in the spotlight dancing. And I thought, now that I'm in a position of what I'm doing, it's like my why is because dance to me is one of the greatest art forms, and I really do believe that we, as an art form of dance, sometimes fall short behind other art forms.
Mm.
And a big why for me is that there's such a gap in the market of putting dance out there as a respected, even just as dancers being treated like superstars, in a sense, you know. One of my things is I love at the end of a dream show that there's a standing ovation and they're screaming for dancers.
Mm.
And that's my complete why. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yes.
For me, it's like every time at the end of the show when I see, you know, the sort of signature line now, I always have a line in the dream show that has the dancers standing in a line, and it's the end of the show. And to see people responding and clapping to dancers for not just being in the background holding a rose or in the background of a singer, or they're getting the applause because they're behind an artist or they're rolling on a prop. It's like they're actually getting an applause for what they've trained their whole life to do.
Yes.
So that's kind of a huge why for me, because as we know, we get to go into dance studios and we get to see what these kids train to do, and it's really sometimes disheartening when you know these dancers are so capable of so much more than what they get employed for.
Yes.
And I sometimes, it breaks my heart when I see the most phenomenal dancer and then they're one of 50 people banging a drum in the back of an artist.
Yes.
And they're like, and that now is a dream for people to be like, I want to back up and I want to get onto this show or I want to go do this. But it kind of is, they're going against all of their training, and I just really wanted to create something or make a movement for people not to be afraid to go out there, chase what you want, put dance on a platform that is equally as a singer releasing a single, that you're putting yourself out there as a true artist and something to gain respect and applause from.
Yeah, no, that's great.
That was a big why.
Yeah, but, you know, the bigger the why, the more that you can achieve. And,
100%.
You know, you've inspired me to go and get into dance.
Excellent.
No, but it's an interesting journey, and certainly a lot of what you're saying, I'm sitting here as a parent of, you know, of three children, but two of those children are girls who started off at the same age as you did, Mark. Yeah. At the age of, well, it was younger actually, it was probably two or three. And, you know, dance was probably one of the activities that they first started with, you know, swimming and dance. And then, you know,
totally.
As they grow older and their coordination increases, and then you start, you know, as a parent, particularly these days, then you start enrolling them in all, you know, in all sorts of different activities. And it becomes, there comes a time within their, you know, whether that's a certain age or whether that's a certain year that they get into their schooling, and they've got to start choosing or prioritising which
yes.
activities they continue with. And this whole issue of dance being a career is, it has a stigma around it, you know, so 100%. I'm not from a dance background. But, and I'll be honest here, the thought process that went through my husband and I's head was, you know what, if you have to choose something that you'll actually be able to, you know, put towards a career or put towards, you know,
completely.
Future social skills. So, you know, tennis, well, at least you can play that with your friends when you're older, or, you know, basketball, you can make a career of that or whatever the
100%.
Case may be. Whereas dance, it's like, well, that's great if you're 6 foot tall and stick thin, but, you know, other
yep.
than that, a career in dance is not something that's going to happen. So, you know, putting the parent slant on it, you know, as parents, we probably go, okay, here's a practical decision in terms
100%.
Of your future. And so there's probably this whole band of parents out there that need to listen to this, or perhaps would find it helpful to listen to this and perhaps be inspired by your passion, because, Mark,
and
your passion is palpable, and your desire to actually bring this as an art form that is celebrated, you know, by the wider community in Australia, so that
completely.
It is, you know, it does become paid and it does become a career, and, you know, then maybe is more widely embraced, I guess, in terms of the variety of people that can access dance, you know, so that it's not just the prima ballerina figure that's celebrated
100%.
Within that career.
Yeah, and it's so great, Marco, that you are doing that, and that is filtering down and filtering through even to these parents that are enrolling their kids in dance. The work that you're doing in the industry and being the thought leader that you are is really filtering through.
Yeah.
I think that's
and
awesome.
I think that's a huge part. I know it's still going on with the why, but I don't know. There's a real education side to what I do, and I'm a very realistic person, because I think I grew up with the same parents, you know what I mean? My mum sacrificed everything for me and always allowed me to do, but I grew up with a very European father who was like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
What do you, you know? What,
well, particularly for guys,
how much money are you going to make? How much?
Yeah.
And it was drilled in my mind being like, and I guess it's such a stigma because I'm now out there educating kids, and I try and as much as I can, I want to teach them steps and I want them to have fun in my class, but I always sit kids down now and have an honest conversation with them, because it is important to understand that. I know when I was growing up, and still to this day, there's so many kids out there that say, oh, stuff school, or, you know, stuff the education side because I'm just going to be a dancer.
Yeah.
And to me, that scares the hell out of me.
No.
And I'm like,
well, back.
Listen. And, you know, education was such a big part of my process in the fact that it's like, you know, you have to be so smart to be successful in the arts.
Yes.
And that is actually the complete truth of anyone yeah. from thinking it's Beyoncé to Raphael Boncella from Sydney Dance Company, from anyone, Kelly Abbey or anyone. You sit with these people, and even artists I've had the chance to work with, working with, you know, from Kylie Minogue to will.i.am to Jason Derulo, and meeting all these artists and spending time with them, Jess Malboy, Ricky Lee, all of these people, they all had the same thing in common.
Yeah.
They were clever.
Yes.
They had a work ethic.
Yes.
They actually had a business branding behind them.
Yes, that's right.
And I feel people see the shiny side of the arts and shiny side of what we all get to do every day, but the legwork and the actual business side to making things happen is a lot different than just the dancing.
Which is like anything.
100%. And it can relate to any career, you know.
Yeah.
And I always encourage dancers, and especially myself, I knew as well that, hold on, I don't want to be a dancer my whole life.
Yes.
There will come a point that I'm like, I'm sore.
Yeah.
I'm tired of making the same money I made at 18 and I'm still, you know, 25 and it got to that point. And I tell everyone that you have to be a dancer / something.
Yes.
Like, it's the most important thing, to find your / something, whether it be a / teacher, / choreographer, / creative director, / stylist, / you know, anything. And that's something special as well, even for parents to understand that dance doesn't just make kids want to be dancers. Dance has this power of confidence growth.
Exactly.
It has power of, you know, mingling with, you know, other people. It gives you so much more than just steps. And I feel dancers can ease into so many other art forms. I know the greatest dancers that are photographers,
yes.
that are chiropractors, that are in so many different fields because they actually understand the body, mind,
yes.
and artistry.
Yes.
And I think that's really important, and that's something I'm, you know, really about as well.
Yeah, and look, that was certainly a point that I was going to make, was that was, you know, the fact that my daughters did do several years of dancing, it actually really added to their confidence and their onstage presence.
Completely.
And in terms of being able to actually get up in front of a crowd and perform, you know, there's streets ahead because they'd done that from such a young age. So the notion, I guess the very notion of actually getting up and talking in front of a crowd or performing in front of a crowd, it's never really been a thing or an issue for them because it's just been done from such a young age. And where you were talking about in terms of, you know, you encourage people to be a dancer as well as something else, you know, I imagine for the professional sport players is exactly the same. So you can only play competitive basketball for so long. You can only play, you can only be at the top of your game of rugby league or tennis or whatever for so long before the physicalities of that
100%.
Restrict you. And, you know, then you can maybe go into coaching or whatever. But if you're getting, you know, gaining those other skills such as confidence and discipline, you know, discipline, I think, for any elite sport, including dancing, is something that's instilled, you know, and best instilled at a very young age. You know, those sorts of characteristics will set you up personality-wise, you know, for any goal that you wish to achieve.
100%.
For someone else who knows their why, who is fortunate enough to know their why as well as you do, you've got a real connection to your why and you can articulate that, you know, as I said before, with lots of passion and conviction. But if someone knows their why but are just not sure how to actually go out and use that why to fuel them in the right direction, what do you have any advice as how they can turn that why into an action? You know, what do they do next if they've determined that this is what they are on the earth to do and they just need to do it? What can they do to start that journey?
I think I honestly believe, and something I really, really believe in, with what makes a why possible, is like-minded people that believe in you and create your why to be bigger, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I really believe that who you surround yourself really makes something take off or not.
Yeah.
And I know it's like I can, you know, think of everything under the sun, and if I, you know, want to do something, I can go out there and do it. But it's truly I have this hunger and this belief and this strong why because of the people that I surround myself with, that I have many soundboards that I can rattle off millions of ideas to, and people can be real with me and be like, oh no, that's stupid, or that's great, oh this is good. And I think it's really about the honesty side of things, knowing your why, being honest with it, and having great soundboards and people around you that will actually tell you the truth and be with you and stand behind you and push you to do things. Because we all know that you can have the greatest idea, but you're not going to tell yourself to do it. You know, you need those people that are behind you and with you that will be like, go on, Stacey, go do your podcast because it's amazing. Like, go do your thing. But you know what I mean? Like, when you hear those things and it resonates with your why, you're like, oh my God, there's like-minded people who believe in my why. It only makes your why stronger. And I think if you don't have that, you know, some people can get around the wrong crowd, and then your why becomes their why. Then it's kind of, you find yourself being like, oh, why am I, you know, in this wrong journey?
How did I get here? Because,
exactly. So realistically, just really open your eyes and know who you surround yourself in any circumstance, and really know and be upfront and honest with yourself and say, is this where I want to be?
Yes. And look, and I guess the practical action behind that, and Marco, I 100% agree with you. And I guess when people are given the advice, okay, kind of fire those around you that are not contributing to your confidence and contributing to your journey to realize your why, you know, and then find people that are comfort, you know, that are supportive of you. Sometimes, you know, someone might think, oh, but I don't know, you know what I mean? Well, I don't know where I find those people. So, you know, actually going and joining groups, whether it be on Facebook or whether it be locally, groups of people who are likely to get behind you, and you're all on the same page when it comes to actually, you know, where you want to be and what you want to do, there will be people around you. So if you are in a position where you're not surrounded by people who you think will actually believe in you or support you on your mission to realize your why, you know, get out there and try and find groups of people that will be there.
Exactly. Or do you know what? Just have the guts enough to be like, if you really strongly believe in it, and people, because sometimes, let me tell you, it can be, you might get doors shut in your face and you might have people that don't believe in you. But it's also then, if you don't have that support, you have to fight for it. If it's something you believe in, and you love it and you have that passion and nothing's going to stop you, then put it out there.
Yes.
Only you can make something happen. And I
absolutely
think you'd rather try something and fail than not try at all.
Absolutely.
I think, like, go down in flames if you're worth fighting for. But nothing's going to happen unless you do it.
Yes.
And I think too many people, and I guess that's why I kind of create things a lot out of, you know, when I was like, I'm going to do this dream show, I'm going to do show business, of course, I'm going to do, like, I shoot off things that I make happen because I believe in it. And I think if you really listen to your gut as well, you know you're making the right decision. I know it sounds so, you know, people are always like, just trust your instinct, and but it's so true. Like, if you are willing to put everything on the line and go for it, and you know the intention of it's good, and you know that you're going to put something good and positive out there, then that's worth fighting for.
Go for it. You certainly have done, Marco Penzic. Thank you so much for joining us on Miss Bossy Boots.
No worries. Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
Stace, that was really inspiring, listen to Marco talk so passionately. What were some of the takeouts that you took from that?
For me, Marco, I mean, firstly, thank you for letting me have a dancer on the podcast, first and foremost. But as I said to him during the interview, he's someone who lives his why quite visually. I see it all the time. I hear it in his voice. Every time we meet over in any kind of professional development exercise or even on performance base, you can always really see and hear what he is about. And I truly believe. Did you find that you would just believe? Like, he just speaks the truth.
Yeah, absolutely. I got caught up in his why from the moment, you know, from the answer of the first question. And you can see how being so clear on that why drives every decision that he's made and every kind of almost every opinion that he holds and his day-to-day kind of operations are all driven by this unyielding passion to inspire people to really pursue a career in dance.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting his ideas around surrounding yourself with people who will lift you up.
Yes.
Because that's something that you don't really think about until you're until you're in a spot of bother. Do you know what I mean? And then you kind of take stock of who's around you and what you've been listening to and what you've been exposed to. And what's that great saying about you are the sum of
the five
people that you spend the most time with? And I've found that in not only in my business career but just in life in general, when I get into a spot of bother and things aren't going as planned, there's always something or someone or that you can pinpoint and go, well, you know what, that negativity has actually been impacting on everything else.
Yeah.
And he is such a positive person. Marco is such a positive person. And I now can see that that would also come from the people that he is surrounding himself with.
100%. And I would say in my experience, you know, I had a point in my time, my life quite recently where I had surrounded myself in some really positive influences. And then a few of them left my life for whatever reason that may be. I just didn't see them as much. And that's when I noticed the difference it can make being always around those people that lift you versus, you know, people that perhaps don't believe in you or don't want you to succeed or don't care if you succeed, you know, and it's probably more of the latter.
Yeah.
As opposed to people not actively wanting you to succeed. You know, I just don't think a lot of care really people give a, you know, a swear word about that.
Very good. So maybe time to take stock, no matter where you are in your business journey or in your life journey, as to the people that you're surrounding yourself with and where you're at, especially when it comes to your why. If you've got a really strong why or if it's something that you haven't even found out yet, perhaps it's something to throw around with the people that you are surrounding yourself with and see what comes back.
I would 100% agree.
As always, we would love it if you would leave us a rating and review for our podcast, Miss Bossy Boots. We really appreciate everyone who's jumped onto iTunes in the last couple of weeks and left us a rating and a review. We not only love seeing the comments that you leave, but also love seeing those stars tick up as well.
And don't forget to come and like our Facebook page, Miss Bossy Boots Podcast. Drop us a line, drop us a message, throw us a comment on one of our posts. We'd love to hear from you.
Until next time, thank you so much for joining us on Miss Bossy Boots. We'll talk to you soon, Jane.
Thanks.